executive. We are going to talk about the JFK assassination here. But in a way that I promise you, you probably haven't heard before. But let's see, you have heard me talk about this book. I'm holding it up to the camera for those of you listening on an audio stream. It's called Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, The Powerful Forces That Put It in the White House, and What Their Influence Means for America. And, it's not a book about the Kennedy assassination. It's about the Bush family. Now, the author of this book is Russ Baker. He is the guy behind the website whowhatwhy.com. Hold on, I got to find him on my on my menu here. Russ Baker. Okay, let's call Russ Baker. He actually happens to be in Dallas today. Yeah, in Dallas today. I'm not sure why, but I guess we'll find out. But Russ Baker, the guy behind the website whowhatwhy.com, it is an independent investigative news website, and he's got two stories. Well, the big story, a series of stories that are up at whowhatwhy.com right now. Bush and the JFK hit. It's a 10-parter, so you can. I will link to it from the blog at radioornot.com after the show. But there are some really interesting things that somehow don't get mentioned, for instance, on that Frontline piece that I watched last night, all about Lee Harvey Oswald. So Russ Baker, author of Family of Secrets, the proprietor of whowhatwhy.com, joins us now live from Dallas. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Nicole.
Thanks for joining us this morning. What are you doing in Dallas?
Oh, well, I'm speaking at a couple of research conferences about the JFK assassination.
Ah, that makes sense. Well, boy, what a time to be in Dallas, huh, for the 50th anniversary of you know, arguably one of the true handful of days that changed U.S. history, right? What kind of commemorations do they have in Dallas for something like this? It's obviously not a, you know, not a day of celebration by any means.
Well, it's to say that it is disappointing would be a an understatement. The city of Dallas has never had any interest in dealing with what actually happened.
Wow.
And they also really are not very comfortable celebrating JFK and what he represented either. And so they pursue this odd middling course. I think we're going to be putting up on whowhatwhy.com tomorrow. You have to see a picture of what the JFK Memorial here looks like, because it's so dispiriting and not emblematic of anything. And they really just don't want to talk about it.
Huh. Well, yeah, look, I understand. The city of Dallas, it's probably their least proudest moment, if you know what I mean. I'm trying to find a double negative there. But nothing to be proud of. But, you know, look, something that changed the course of history happened in their city. To sort of not acknowledge it is, I think, you know, not smart, but oh well, you know, so it's Texas, you know, I don't expect anything different. But, you know, we're not going to have a conversation rehashing the same old shit, if you will, about the Kennedy assassination, because in your book, Family of Secrets, which I highly recommend, I've got the big, you know, hardcover copy right here in my hand, you have a big portion of it devoted to, obviously, George H.W. Bush, Poppy Bush, who happened to be in Dallas the day Kennedy was assassinated. And you actually show that there might be some connection there, right?
Yeah, I mean, the background to it is that I was not what you would call a Kennedy assassination buff or expert or even really paying much attention to it. I was simply trying to understand more about George W. Bush and how he became president and why and who was behind his rise and the remarkable things that he did. And so the more I dug into him, the more I realized that he never would have been president if his father hadn't been. And, of course, once I started looking at the father, I wondered how the father had become president, because he really was not that exceptional a figure by any means. And so the more I looked at the father, the more I discovered that there was so much about him we didn't understand. And that's what led me to research his own background, wow, to how and why he improbably became a CIA director. And then that led me back to a whole sort of a secret past of the father, George H.W., Bush 41, which led me to his remarkable claim not to remember where he was on November 22, 1963.
Okay, so let's back up, because George H.W. Bush, look, people can always tell you where they were at any, you know, seminal moment in history. I can tell you exactly where I was, what I was doing the moment I heard John Lennon had been killed. Now, since I had just turned four when Kennedy was assassinated, I don't remember that. But other, you know, major historical events, of course you can remember. And for someone who was, you know, working in public service, in government, or as we've learned about Poppy Bush, affiliated with the CIA at the time, how could he not remember where he was?
Yeah, and actually what I discovered in my 5 years of research for Family of Secrets was that he was all over the place, and of course he had every reason to remember it. When you tote up all the particulars, you know that he is lying. And I don't say that lightly, but I think any fair-minded person looking would say this man was lying, because he was in his 40s at the time. He was a Texan. He was actually the chairman of the Harris County, that's Houston, Republican Party, and he was a candidate for United States Senate from Texas on the campaign trail at the time that Kennedy was shot. He was in and out of Dallas all the time, and as I document in Family of Secrets, he was actually already for years working for the CIA in Texas, and very, very involved with anti-Castro Cuban exiles who themselves harbored deep animosity toward JFK. And then there's much, much more, which if you like, we can go into, including a couple of fascinating declassified FBI documents that mention him and mention Dallas.
So you have, through your research, even though Poppy Bush claimed to not remember where he was when Kennedy was shot, you have uncovered the fact that he was actually in Dallas when Kennedy was killed.
That's right.
Which is weird. Also, you know, there's so much more. So I guess let me back up a second and ask, do you believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, or do you think there was more to this?
You know, again, I'm not an expert on all facets of the assassination, but because I was writing this book about the Bush family, and because this issue of George H.W. Bush, who he really was, what he was about, how he came to be president, and really the nature of the presidency itself began to fascinate me, I had to dig into the Kennedy thing. And I've continued to research it since Family of Secrets came out, and I can tell you this. There is no way in the world that Lee Harvey Oswald was the sole assassin. There is almost no way in the world that Lee Harvey Oswald got off even a single successful shot at John F. Kennedy. There is very little probability that he attempted any shots at Kennedy. Moreover, there is almost no chance at all that he was on the sixth floor at the time that those shots were fired.
Then why would he, when he was, you know, then later accosted by the police officer who was killed, why would he have pumped three bullets at point-blank range into this cop?
There's serious dispute as to whether that was him, first
really?
Of all. And second of all, there is the possibility that if it was him, and it seems like it wasn't because of a whole bunch of particulars relating to what he was seen moments before at another location far away. There were eyewitnesses who said it was somebody else. There are many mitigating factors. But even if it was him, the high likelihood is that Lee Harvey Oswald was, in fact, an intelligence operative with a relationship with the CIA and the FBI, as well as other federal agencies, and that if, in fact, he was accosted by a police officer at that point, he realized that he was a marked man and that he was being set up and was about to be shot himself. So if that was him, my guess is that he shot the police officer in self-defense.
Wow. All right. See, this is fascinating. Now, I must say, I've been trying to get a hold of Vincent Bugliosi, who wrote, I mean, if I think Family of Secrets is a big fat, heavily footnoted book with lots of research. How many pages of footnotes are in here? It goes on and on in the index. It's a, you know, almost 500-page book here. Vincent Bugliosi, the famed prosecutor, also wrote a book called, I can't think of the name of it right now, but what he claims to have fully litigated the entire case, and he examines in great detail every single aspect, and he comes to the conclusion that that it was Lee Harvey Oswald, that he was the lone gunman, that he acted alone. So here we are 50 years later, and learned minds doing great research come to completely different conclusions. So,
well, I'm going to disagree with that because I know Vince and I have some good things to say about him, but I don't consider him a learned mind. You know, our media apparatus in this country puts up in front of us various figures that the establishment finds acceptable, if somebody gets a huge amount of publicity for their book, if it gets a big contract from a major publishing company, that's the tip-off that it's essentially part of the cover-up. And in fact, Vince did not do a tremendous amount of research. What he did is his book is almost entirely, as I understand it, based on the Warren Commission report, which itself is highly discredited. Vince did not go out, as far as I know, and interview sources. He did not do any original investigation. And when I talked to him about my book and my findings, and I quickly reeled off a bunch of revelations from my book, he said, "Well, I don't know any of that," he said.
It's a huge book. Okay. Well, I got to be honest with you. I didn't read it. I did not. I read most of Family of Secrets. I still need to finish it. I did not read Reclaiming History is the name of Bugliosi's book. But David, my other half, did. He read the whole thing and said he does a great job of just, examining point by point everything that went on. And he tends to believe what Bugliosi said. So, again, this is the kind of thing. We'll never know, and because
I think we will, because look, the truth is, if you read Vince's book, but you also read the 99% of books that come out down on the other side, and I mean it, it's 99%. If you know all these facts, you know that Bugliosi's book is incorrect on almost everything. If you only read his book, he's a professional showman. He was a prosecutor.
Well, he was a prosecutor.
He performed for juries, he performed for judges, and he performed for the cameras. That's what his book is. It's just a piece of performance art. but the actual material in there is largely wrong.
Okay.
And it's also a book that kind of mean-spiritedly attacks other people in an unprofessional manner rather than focusing on facts themselves. I think it's a terrible book. I think it's a travesty. And I'll just give you a few quick examples of things that Vincent doesn't know anything about. He doesn't know anything about George H.W. Bush. He doesn't know that George H.W. Bush was working for the CIA at the time. He doesn't know that George H.W. Bush was a lifelong friend of George de Morenschild, the man who was considered Lee Harvey Oswald's best friend. He doesn't know that George de Morenschild was linked himself to the CIA and basically admitted that the CIA asked him to hang out with Lee Harvey Oswald in the year prior to the shooting. He doesn't know that George de Morenschild, 10 years later, wrote an alarmed letter to George Bush, now the head of the CIA, and said he felt that a net was closing in on him and could Bush please help, since they'd been such old friends. Bush himself wrote an internal memo to the CIA saying, "Yes, this was my friend, and yes, he had some connection to Oswald, but I don't remember any details." Now, what kind of head of an intelligence agency is not interested in how his close personal friend was a close personal friend of the man who assassinated the President of the United States?
Okay. So let me ask you, you discredit Bugliosi, you say, did you read his book, did you say?
I couldn't get through it. I have it. It's just, you cannot do that to yourself. That's a kind of really an unfair torture of the soul to read something that's, I also don't read L. Ron Hubbard closely either.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So, Russ Baker, what do you think? I mean, you discredit Bugliosi. You say you don't even believe Lee Harvey Oswald got off one shot. You don't think he was in the sixth floor with a gun. So what do you think happened? Do you think the CIA put out a hit on Kennedy?
Well, for those listening who may think that what I'm saying doesn't make any sense, let me just point out a few facts. Lee Harvey Oswald, within seconds of Kennedy being shot, Lee Harvey Oswald was confronted by a police officer and the superintendent of the Texas School Book Depository in the lunchroom on, I believe it was the second floor of the building. How he would have gotten from the sixth floor to the second floor and been drinking a Coke nonchalantly, literally within seconds. And there were even people who went up in the elevator and people who were on the stairs and nobody saw him up there. The fact that he was considered to be a very, very poor shot, the fact that a former Marine top marksman wrote a book that he went up there and he examined the shot and he said even he himself could not have made that shot. I mean, these are the kind of things that aren't in Bugliosi. So I think it's absolutely certain that Oswald had nothing to do with it. Now, what do I think happened? Look, the United States had a long history and in that period was very, very involved in going into other countries where democratically elected leaders like Patrice Lumumba in the Congo and Arbenz in Guatemala and so forth, where they removed these leaders because they didn't like them. They removed them because they were angering U.S. corporate interests. And in some cases, these people died and they had heavy cover-ups. They had tremendous control of media resources, putting out myths. They had people like David Attlee Phillips and E. Howard Hunt, who are both believed to also have been involved in the Kennedy hit. These guys were involved in all of these operations. It's what they do. It was a giant murder machine, and it worked for American corporate interests. John F. Kennedy and his brother Robert were like bats out of hell. They were going after these interests, the steel industry, the oil industry, the organized crime industry, on and on and on. And everybody in those powerful circles was furious with them, terrified of them, and wanted them out. And yes, I do believe that this was just another of this long series of well-documented American coups.
Wow. Okay. And look, I wouldn't put something like that past the government. I think there so much goes on that we don't know. I think we're lied to continuously. Yeah. And so anything could have happened. Now, I know you've got a video up at whowhatwhy.com that purports to show a Secret Service agent being told to get away from the car seconds before the shots hit the president?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, here's Kennedy in a motorcade in a canyon of buildings. The Secret Service has failed to check any of these buildings. They don't have sharpshooters anywhere. They've got nothing. They've told Texas Rangers they don't need their help. The police are told to do nothing. There was no security there at all. And it's very interesting because subsequently, the man who was the head of the Secret Service wrote a book about standard procedure and how the Secret Service has the best protection of presidents in the world. And they literally melted away. There was nothing. And there is no possible benign explanation for any of that. And on this video, which is one of literally thousands of demonstrations of this essential conspiracy, you see this Secret Service agent who obviously was not in on it, and he's the only one left near Kennedy's car, and he's being waved away. He's being told by a superior in the car behind, get away from Kennedy's car, and he shrugs demonstrably three times in frustration, and not just frustration, but to express that this is hardly standard procedure.
So then I'm not doubting what you're telling us, but if that is the case, why didn't any of this ever come out? I mean, it's look, my problem with all the conspiracy theories about 9/11, and look, I wouldn't put anything past the Bush family, but is that, you know, it's hard to have, when you've got three people in on a secret, to keep a secret. Obviously, something of this magnitude would take more than three people to pull off, and for nobody to come forward and say, hey, hold on, the guilt is killing me, here's what really happened, I just find, you know, hard to swallow.
You know, I used to believe that it was hard. It's probably hard for you and me to keep a secret, but it's not hard for people in the CIA to keep a secret. It's not hard for people in the Secret Service to keep a secret. It's not hard for people in Skull and Bones to keep a secret. It's not hard for people in the Navy SEALs to keep a secret. That's their job. That's their lives. They sign on. They agree to keep secrets. They know that if they don't keep secrets, they could go to jail or get whacked themselves. There are thousands of people who have no trouble keeping secrets. And I'll tell you something else. I deal with sources for my stories at Who, What, Why on a daily basis who tell me, you know, I know something about XYZ. I wish I could tell you, but my wife doesn't want me to, or I'm scared or whatever. People keep secrets all the time. You can divide the population between those who do and don't. And I'll tell you something. There isn't a one of us who would have volunteered to stand up and say, I know what really happened there. Go ahead and take a shot at me.
All right. Well, here we are 50 years later. And again, we don't know. We won't ever know anything for sure. You've got to admit that for sure, without a shadow of a doubt.
I don't accept that. And I'm actually continuing my research on this. And I think that really good journalistic efforts can get to the bottom of these things. Let me say that one of the reasons we don't know that we think that we'll never get to the bottom of it is because we're being told that time and time again. I pick up every day, you know, USA Today, and I watch these TV shows from PBS to the corporate media. They all lie all the time. And I've worked for them. Listen, I mean, I'm a mainstream journalist. I've taken paychecks for 25 years from these outfits. They try to do a good job, but they're small people doing small jobs. They're scared. They're limited in what they're able to do. Nobody can take on the really, really big stories. And so they look for small stories. Almost all of the stuff that the so-called coverage of the Kennedy 50th is a kind of pornography. You know, it's like, letters to Jackie, you know, and photos at the grave. You know, I mean, the real work that needs to be done is investigation. And nobody wants to risk their job, their family, their security, their reputation. This kind of demonization of serious research has gone on really throughout American history. And they have always promoted so-called historians and academics and things who are willing to cover up the truth. That's just the way the system works in this country and in most countries because it's too unpleasant and the business of America is business and we don't want people to start questioning the fundamental structures of power. That's just the way it works. That's why I started WhoWhatWhy.com because I, in my frustration of decades in journalism and seeing that you're not really encouraged to ask the big questions and to go after the big stories.
Well, I hear you on that. And I know that Russ Baker at WhoWhatWhy.com, you do, you bring up stories and you put forth research and information that we don't hear anywhere else. Two quick questions because they're going to call in with the news any minute now. Do you believe Michael Hastings' death was an accident?
I don't know, and I'm certainly not going to rush to say that it was or it was not. As you know, we've done a number of stories on Who, What, Why about that. You can look at the video of his crash, and it certainly the explosion looks quite a bit bigger than what should have happened with a car running into a tree. There is the question of why his car ran into the tree. There is the odd circumstance that the day before that he sent out a slightly alarmed email saying that the FBI was investigating him. We know he was working on stories about the CIA and the NSA, very sensitive topics. Right at the time that he died in this mysterious crash. And once again, I'm very disappointed in the rest of the media, the failure to investigate the strange death of a colleague in our business.
And one last question. Do you think that perhaps, and this is probably a bigger question than, you know, a 20-second answer, but President Obama gets into office, sits down at his desk at the Oval Office, and someone comes in and tells him this is how things really work here, and, you're not the boss?
I don't think you have to have that kind of talk. I think he has known that he's never been the boss. He's had people who've promoted him on his way up. There are very powerful individuals and interest in any society. They tend to be wealthy. They tend to be, just things that make perfect sense. You know, banks and big industrialists and people who are part of certain associations and things, they shape the trajectory of a country. These groups like the Council on Foreign Relations, it's not a conspiracy per se. It's a culture. And I think any person moving up in the ranks of politics understand that they're really kind of a bit player, and as long as they have enough of the right people behind them, they will continue to move up, and when they're not anymore or they fall out of favor, they're out.
All right, one last, and sorry, Talk Radio News Service, hold on, I'll be right with you. The Boston bombing, you've done a lot of coverage on that story. Do you think the Tsarnaev brothers were the bombers?
Again, I'm not going to come to any kind of a conclusion at this point, but as you know, Who, What, Why has covered this very heavily. We find tremendous anomalies, we find tremendous inconsistencies and essentially lies from the FBI. They also now appear to be trying to get rid of witnesses who may be able to counteract the popular narrative. All of this is more typical of a police state than of a democracy, and it's very, very troubling. We're going to continue to look at that. We're going to continue to look at the Hastings story. We're going to continue to look at all of these things until we figure out what actually did happen.
All right. There you have it. Russ Baker. Find him at whowhatwhy.com and do read Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, The Powerful Forces That Put It in the White House, and What Their Influence Means for America. Russ Baker in Dallas, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Nicole.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.